Okay, good evening, YouTube. Welcome back to this next episode of FPL Family with me, Lee, and this is Sam. It's been a while, hasn't it?
Hot minute.
Been a while. This is like, what, 3 weeks away or something we had? We had international football, we had a bit of FA Cup, a bit of everything other than Premier League. But it's nice to have the Premier League back. It's nice to have FPL back.
And we're into the busy bit.
We're into the chaos. Business end of the season.
The business end of the season.
And how did this weekend feel like for you? Did it feel like a punch in the face, like Arteta said it was in his post-match press conference? Well, did you feel that?
Are we talking about FPL or football? Because football's constantly a punch in the face.
Yeah.
FPL, no.
I don't think any of us feel like we've been punched in the face. That was some pretty strong words from Arteta, but they're probably deserved.
There was a minute or two. Well, it was about 30 seconds where I thought, I'm pretty raging. Came during the Man City-Chelsea game.
Right.
At myself, not anyone else.
Yeah.
You'll see that later when we get to my team. And then I got over it because, to be honest, you can't be too angry about things at the minute. Otherwise, it just, Arteta, you've got to let these things go. Otherwise, you punch people in the face and, you know, get punched in the face yourself. It's not good for you.
Well, listen, it's very nice to be back. It's nice to be back here on a Sunday night talking about FPL, talking about the football again. It does feel like a long time, no doubt about it. And Arsenal fans, I want to know in the chat, in the comments, if there's any of you in tonight, because frankly, if I were an Arsenal fan, the last thing I'd want to be talking about right now is FPL or football or anything. I would want to be sitting in the corner hiding away from it, because I don't know if you saw, did you see the guy at the Chelsea game today, Chelsea Man City, the Man City fan.
Tears.
He bought, like, guys, you haven't seen this. Like, he's become an instant, like, meme. He bought a little, you know, those, like, little bottles of water that you get. And it had an Arsenal logo on the side of it. So he'd obviously got it in, like, I don't know, Arsenal hospitality. Or even worse, he's made it himself, you know. And he's on the screen at the Chelsea game. And City have just scored, I think, the second or the third goal. And he's on camera, like, drinking this little bottle of water, as if to say, like, I'm drinking Arsenal tears and stuff. And I'm just like, the City fans, I tell you, versus the narrative that I'm hearing now in the Arsenal communities, the City communities, they are, listen, they're on one. And I, for one, I'm so here for next week. Next week is huge, isn't it?
It's one of those things, isn't it, where at the beginning, I remember about Christmas time, we all started, there was a whole narrative around, well, it's done now, and we were talking about champions elect, and we said at the time, but Arsenal do have a habit of just imploding.
I didn't foresee it, though, I have to say.
When we
were saying it, I was like, yep, no one catching them.
See, I don't know, really, because Man City, this is when Man City, it's almost like it warms up in the UK, and Man City go, right, it's time to play some football. And the summer months for them are always really good. The end of the season, they just know how to finish a season.
Well, we always say it. They've got the muscle memory, haven't they?
They
just know how to win.
They do, absolutely. And so going into, you know, today, I must admit, I did not see yesterday happening. I did not see that result coming at all. I thought Arsenal would win that game. Not comfortably, because Bournemouth have been good and, you know, they've been, but it's a home game for Arsenal. And Arsenal at home, usually they just know how to get a job done at home, like 1-0 to the Arsenal, get it done, move on. So when it was 1-0 to Bournemouth, and then obviously they equalised with the penalty, which in itself was funny, wasn't it? Because we were like, who's on the pitch that takes penalties?
Yeah.
And we were out and about on Saturday lunchtime. We weren't at home. And I'm standing and got a notification on my phone, and I looked at it, and I automatically assumed it was going to say it was 2-1 to Arsenal. And so when it wasn't, it was like, oh.
Do you know what? I disagree with you to a point. I thought when I saw the team sheets coming out, I thought that's going to be a really tough game for Arsenal.
But I just thought
because they didn't have the first choice fullbacks, and we know how important that is to them.
It is.
The Kai Havertz in midfield thing just ain't working.
No.
And Bournemouth are on a 12-game unbeaten streak. They're flying.
It was funny though, because I just kind of thought that when they got it back to 1-1, and obviously we weren't watching the game, so at the time I didn't know how bad it had been, really. Because like I say, we were out and about. But I just kind of thought that they would find a way to win that. Once they got it back to 1-0.
That's what champions do, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
But that's why I don't think they'll be champions now.
Well, there we go. Yeah, more on that game in just a bit, as well as all the other games that we've had. Now, you guys will know. Well, welcome in.
Eight of the nine games that we've had. We're not talking about the other one.
We won't talk about the other one. Yeah, we won't talk about that. But welcome in to the FPL Family live stream. As you guys will know, there is still one game still to go Monday night. So Manchester United versus Leeds.
El Capitans for both of us.
Yeah, so well, I've got Bruno captain. You certainly have, I think, as well. There will be many of you that have got, you know, Cunha and maybe Mbeumo. Maybe if you wildcarded this week, you got on some Leeds early. Maybe there's some DCLs out there, right? There might
Well
Max
be. Max was talking about how he's got Dalot still in his team, so he wants a Man United clean sheet.
Yeah, yeah. So there's a few, and I think as George is saying in the chat, right, everyone's got Bruno cap. So my red arrow that I'm currently on.
Well, Haaland was the most captain player of the game week.
Yeah, but I think amongst the engaged game, I think Bruno is probably the sort of safe choice for captaincy. I think he's definitely the popular one. So
yeah.
I'm expecting my red to be probably a little bit more red by the end of the game week. But
even with Bruno cap?
Oh yeah, well of course, because I haven't got Cunha. That's all I've got. And there'll be DCLs out there, Cunhas. There'll be, I don't know, Mbeumos. There'll be some Manu defence. But yeah, of course, absolutely. I'm expecting... Mm. Unless Bruno goes and gets a couple of goals, because he's about 170% owned, I think, at my rank, then it might be... Yeah, I don't know. Might be slightly less of a red. But it will... Yeah, it will be a bit more of a red. But this week was important for me in particular. And those of you that listened to the Ohana on Thursday, you'll know that it was about 45 minutes of me rambling and about 3 minutes of you asking me one or two questions. Because this week was a big week for me, right? I played the wild card this week. Many of you did. There was a lot of to-ing and fro-ing in the community. A lot of people thinking, well, do I play it now? Do I go maybe even next week? Do I save it for 35 in preparation for a big double game week in 30? Well, not a big... A double game week in 36, where we're expecting City and Palace to double. And in the end, I went backwards and forwards.
You were dramatic.
I genuinely did. I was really, really undecided on it because it was a big decision. I mean, it's a big, not season defining maybe, but this period that we're coming into, you've got to get it. There's pressure to get it right.
Yeah, all right, Arteta.
I certainly felt the pressure to get it right. And I don't know yet, and I don't think we will know yet until the end of game week 33 whether it was the right or the wrong thing. At the moment, it feels like the wrong thing.
But I think it was always going to feel challenging this week.
Yeah.
Because of the players that you were potentially sacrificing.
Well, listen, it has played out exactly how I thought it would.
Yeah.
Which is, I'm playing a wild card, and I'm wild carding into what I consider to be... Okay, at best, an on par with what I've currently got, if not slightly worse, maybe, because I'm getting some, I don't know, Leeds defenders, and I'm getting some bloody double Brighton defence and stuff, even though their defence is pretty good. So going into it thinking, well, I'm not wildcarding, and it's not significantly better, as a wildcard maybe should be, as we've seen in previous seasons.
Yeah.
But I'm setting myself up for next week. So all I'm trying to do this week is try and keep level par, and then smash it next week. And I know that I'm going to be taking out one or two players that hurt me. And the two that I'd identified that were going to hurt me were Thiago. That's happened. And it wasn't Virgil van Dijk. I thought Wilson was going to hurt me, actually. But in the end, it was Virgil van Dijk I took out that hurt me. Mm. So the wild card in 32, listen, it's played out exactly as I thought it would. My game week's a little bit under par. I've kept my head above water. I'm looking forward to the big double next week. And I've been hurt by the players I took out. Which I know, right? I'm not taking Thiago out in my wildcard and thinking, that's not a problem. I knew it would be.
And I think, you know, that was why everyone was a bit to-y and fro-y about what to do about the wildcard this week and whether they wanted to do it or not.
It was a tough one. It really was.
Yeah, it was a hard decision to make. But, you know, I think you can't...
You can't judge it until next week.
No, you can't. And you hope... or you hoped, maybe, that you get through this one with everyone fully fit and well, so that going into next week, you're in a spot where you can just hit through. Now, more on Nico O'Reilly in a minute, because for most wildcarders, Nico O'Reilly was probably one of the first names that entered those wildcard teams, if managers didn't already have him.
Absolutely.
And now, obviously, with that injury that... caused him to go off. Now, it might be precautionary. He might be totally fine. We're going to need to see how the week pans out and then what Pep has got to say ahead of double game week 33. But if there's any doubt, given it's a bench boost week, it will put managers in a bit of a quandary on what to do with Nico O'Reilly.
Yeah, it's tough, isn't it? It's tough. And I still think, I still think Three City is the right thing to do. And I still think O'Reilly is probably one of the three that you want for the rest of the season. It's just like, how do you... Like, it, the worst case scenario is Pep, or we somehow, there's a report that he's out for maybe a week, 10 days, a couple of weeks. Misses one or both of the double game week, but back for sort of 34. Mm. It's like, well, what do you do then? And I'm free hitting in 34, so maybe I take him out and get him back in 35. But it's just...
Especially with the pitch, could have done without it.
No doubt about it. Could have done without it. Let's say hello to a few people, Sam, and then we will get on with the games. George is here, as I mentioned before. He said he benched Virgil. Mate, I don't blame you. I mean, I sold him. Us keeping a clean sheet this week, I just didn't see it the way that we've been playing. But in the end, listen, we'll talk about the game in a bit. I thought we were there for the taking a little bit. I'm not sure whether Fulham really pressed their foot on the accelerator. And if they had... I think they've got something out of that game. I don't know whether they're a little bit beachy already, Fulham. Maybe. I don't know.
That's the first time we've said that.
Well, maybe.
About any club.
They were as... Well, Greg's in the chat. Hey, Greg, he's saying Fulham were pretty bad. They were, mate. Yeah, it wasn't amazing from Fulham, I have to say. But I thought we controlled the game pretty well. But we were definitely had chances second half. And I think if one of those goes in, then, again, we go into panic Liverpool mode again, don't we? But no, Fulham weren't great. They weren't great. Not that we were amazing, but they weren't great. Chatterbox is in. Hey, Chatterbox, free hit next week. But the O'Reilly injury is annoying. Mate, it is. It is, absolutely. If you brought him in on wildcard, and I'm pretty sure... Anybody, as you say, did the wild card this week. I'm pretty sure O'Reilly's
Everyone
in.
Who wild
I'm pretty sure O'Reilly
I'm
was
pretty
in.
Sure if we were to get a list of the wild card in players, Nico O'Reilly would have 100% next to his name.
Yeah, I think so. Matthew Knights is in. Hey, Matthew, I benched Mukiele and Gehi.
Oh, I benched Gehi as
mate.
Well.
Mate, that so is a stinker. I. Matthew, that is a stinker. Kelly T is in. Hey, Kelly, nice to see you. 40k red on my wild card so far. Listen, I don't think you can judge it, Kelly. It's like we all knew, those of us that wildcarded this week, we all knew that we were wildcarding to something at best on a par with what we had. We weren't wildcarding it to something amazing.
You just have
to hope. Just have to accept that it's a mere week and that next week is big. That's what we've got
to hope. You have to hope that the players that you've got now are the right ones for next week.
Correct. Yes, correct. And we've got to hope that Thiago stays quiet again.
We've got to hope he goes on another haul because I want it to go on a haul.
Ain't looking likely. It's not looking likely. Liam Healy is in. Nice to see you, Liam. Do you know what? Liam's been a long-term follower of us here at FPL Family. He's been supporting us on Patreon. Liam, we love you, mate. Big Bristol City fan. Mm-hmm. Big Bristol City fan. And I remember having a Zoom call with Liam. I don't. 2 or 3 years ago. That's how long he's been supporting.
Oh, he's been
us,
here
like,
forever.
Ages, right?
Yeah, that part of the furniture.
And I remember him saying, "Lee, we got this player. We've got this player. We've got Scott, right? Mm-hmm. We've got Scott coming through at Bristol City. He's a player. He's going to be big one day." And here he is turning up against Arsenal.
And did you see the first thing that they all did on social media was find photos of him in a Spurs shirt from when he was a kid?
I can see.
Grew up as a Spurs fan.
I can see it. I'll give Liam props that one. He called that one. He absolutely did, Alex Scott. Let's see who else we've got. Richard Lohman on 45 with the wild card. Mate, it's okay. It's okay. We'll judge it next week. Aaron is in. Hey, Aaron Chen. Nice to see you, mate. Wayne Lavelle
Aaron
is
in
here.
From the UK, which is why he's here, because Aaron is in the UK on holiday.
Is he really?
That's why he's good. Here, because normally Aaron is asleep when we do these live streams.
Oh, well, welcome
from
along.
From the other side of the world. Aaron. So welcome, Aaron.
Welcome along, mate. Nice to have you here for the
Hope
live.
Hope you're enjoying the sunny or not so sunny UK. He's going to Old Trafford tomorrow.
Good
going
effort.
To the game to watch Manchester United tomorrow as part of his trip. So hopefully we get some Bruno magic for him.
Good effort. Enjoy the game, Aaron. I hope it goes well. Fix the roof while you're there, mate. Fix the roof.
Careful of the rats.
Nick F7 is in. Chris B is in. We've got Mustafa. We've got Kingdom FC. Kingdom, mate.
Do you know, Kingdom, I'm surprised that so many mate. People are so here given it's the Masters. So thank you for coming along.
It's all the regulars, Sam.
Yeah,
none of these people
here.
In here are interested in the golf.
Nah.
Not interested in
Forget
the golf.
That.
Rory
Kingdom,
seems to be making heavy
Kingdom's
work
only here
anyway.
Because I've had a terrible week as well, so he feels like he's got some love. Yeah. Come over here, Chelsea fans, we'll sit together and cry.
Kingdom, welcome in, mate. Welcome in a weekend which it didn't go particularly well for you, did it? I have to say, City were very good. Very, very good. I don't know what Pep gave him at half time. I don't know what was
in
the oranges.
Half,
but
Chelsea were better. They were.
Depends on your definition of better. But
they were better in the first half.
Well, I don't know. I think City just kind of, they needed a bit of a rocket at half time. Chelsea, well, they were okay. I thought Palmer looked a lot better. We'll talk about him a bit later. Anyway, talk about him. And Cucurella owner's a bit unlucky because I think he had one chalked off for offside, didn't he, first half?
And then he had another one, didn't he, late on?
Yeah, he had chances. He had chances, yeah. Cucurella. Who else we've got? We've got John Robert Knight. We've got Greg. We've got Sam Sensi. A whole host of you in tonight. A whole host. So welcome along to the FPL family live stream. Hit the like, hit subscribe, all that sort of good stuff, as we always ask you to do. Let's get on with some of these games, Sam. Let's go to the double game week 33. The double game week 33 fixtures? No, is that a little slide you put together?
Oh, it's only got, you go there and it just shows you the fixtures for the double game week.
Do you want to do that in case anyone's been living under a rock?
Go on then.
For those of you that are living under a rock, here's the double game week 33 fixtures. I'm not going to read them all out, but I think we know this, don't we? Thank you for putting a slide there together.
Some point we might, you know, as we were talking through it, you might go, who have Burnley got next week? Bang, there's a slide.
Yeah. All right. Well, for those of us that were wildcarding this week in game week 32, we know this. Like the back of our hand, it's been tattooed.
But Lee, remember that not everyone was wildcarding last week.
Well, correct.
Some people will not be prepped. Some people have rolled their transfer last week and they'll have kept their nice looking team for 32 and now they'll have 5 free transfers for the double. Correct. So they might want to know these fixtures.
So go on then. Give us a... So I'm set now. We'll talk about our bus teams and stuff towards the end of the show, and I've got my team set up based on the wildcard from this week. You haven't wildcarded. Well, you did wildcard quite a way back.
Yeah.
So game week 33 doubles then. Mm-hmm. I think the whole narrative about, well, I've got to get 15 out and bench boost 3 of them and all the rest, I think that's kind of died down a little bit, not least because Bruno seems to be, you know, people are going to keep him as a single game weaker.
Yes.
Who are the other kind of key targets then? I mean, the City 3, I think that's nailed. You've just got to have 3 City and we've got to wait to hear it on O'Reilly.
Yes.
But after that, I'm saying you've got to be looking at Brighton and Bournemouth above Chelsea at the minute.
Yeah, so I put them in. For those on the podcast, I put them Man City, Chelsea, Brighton, Bournemouth because and then Leeds and Burnley because in my head that makes sense, right? I've kind of gone in like league order.
Yeah.
But in reality, in terms of investment, I agree with you. I would put Chelsea behind both Brighton and Bournemouth. So in my team, part of the reason why I'm not so panicky and I don't kind of manically change my strategy for how I'm going to use my remaining chips was because I already had 2 Manchester City players heading into, or last week I had 2 coming into game week 32. And I already had 2 Bournemouth assets. So I was kind of thinking, well, I've got 2 Bournemouth and I've got 2 Man City. Plus, I also have Dubravka, who's just in everybody's team anyway. So, you know, he was there and I had João Pedro.
Fine.
So going into this week, I was like, right, I need to... I've got 3 free transfers, so I can get myself to a spot where I have 10 doublers, if I so choose, between now and game week 33's double game week. Obviously, I needed the 3rd Man City player. That was Erling Haaland, and I decided to go Richarlison to Haaland this week just to have that done. So he's there. So now I'm holding 3 City anyway in Gehi, who I will talk about later, but I benched, and Semenyo and Haaland. I'm happy to stick with the 2 Bournemouth that I have. I don't feel the need for a 3rd.
And who have you got?
I've got Tavernier and I've got Hill? Senesi.
Senesi, okay.
So I'm happy to hold both of them.
Both those boys dropping the DEFCONs again this weekend.
Senesi's just like a magnet to it. And by the way, I thought Senesi was absolutely excellent again. I really like him as a player. I think he's really fantastic.
How do you feel about... how do you feel about Tav? We'll do the games in a minute, but yeah, go on.
Yeah. And then I also did Virgil to Van Heek this week, which cost me a few points this week, but does set me up next week for the double. So it is kind of what it is with that one, I guess.
Brighton defending very well at the moment as well. Have you got Verbruggen as well?
No. So I have Roofs in goal as my goalkeeper, right, which actually worked out okay. And then I have Dubravka, obviously, as my spare goalkeeper, who will double next week. So basically where I am is I need to decide what I'm going to do with my other transfers. And we'll talk about this more towards the end. But for me, Chelsea will not be a team that I'm investing any further
in. I think that's key, isn't it? I can see the chats, Attaboy in the chat saying, you know, look, I'm writing Chelsea off. I'm not writing Chelsea off completely, Attaboy, but I'm just saying, based on what we're seeing on the pitch, and I know they come up against a very good City side, but they'll come up against a pretty good Man United side at Stamford Bridge, and then a very good Brighton side at the Amex.
And
it's
very
easy, isn't it?
It's very possible that Brighton could be above Chelsea in the league if Brighton beats Spurs and Chelsea lose to Manchester United next week. And then that makes that Brighton-Chelsea game even more interesting than it already is. And to be honest, I was watching the Manchester City-Chelsea game today with two mindsets. One was obviously I was hoping that my three Manchester City players got through the game unscathed and were fine and available for next week.
Yeah.
But the other thing was watching Chelsea, because I have João Pedro in my team. I spent all last week talking about how I thought the Chelsea defence were crap and I wasn't going to invest in them and I didn't see the point of them and I wasn't even worth having a conversation about them. I thought Marco Correa was going to outdo everything I just said within the first few minutes of the game when he was so attacking. But I was honestly watching Chelsea thinking, OK, well, is there a player there? And I appreciate what you've just said about Palmer, and we'll talk about him in more detail later. But there's no way I'll be getting Cole Palmer. I just don't see the value in him. And I don't know where he plays. So next week, this week's slightly different because he's playing where he wants to play, because Enzo's not there for disciplinary reasons. What happens if Enzo comes back in? Is he going to stick Palmer out on the left again? If he's on the left, he's way less effective and I don't want him in FPL. And there wasn't anyone else from a Chelsea perspective that, for me anyway, was really calling out to be picked, especially when I think about holding them after the double game week. Plus, I don't love the double game week against Manchester United and Brighton. I genuinely think, sorry, Kingdom, I really do think that there's a possibility that Chelsea lose both those games.
All right. OK, yeah, for sure. I think that, the overriding point is, Brighton and Bournemouth are just as on radar, if not more on radar than Chelsea, after Manchester City. All right, let's get on with some of these fixtures then. Let's get into this. Where do you want to start then? What should we start with?
Should we start with the teams that double and their fixtures that they had this week? Because that kind of makes the most sense.
Well, let's do Chelsea nil, Man City 3 then. We've kind of touched on it a little bit in terms of the Haaland chat and stuff, but I do want to ask you a bit more about Palmer, because you've just said there, you're not going to Palmer. I have gone to Palmer. I was hoping for a bit more than just DEFCON this week, but I think the fact that he got DEFCON says a lot about his performance and his work rate today. I think his work rate and his performance deserved more than the four that he got. And I think against, opposition that's not Manchester City, he'll get something. I've watched bits and pieces of Palmer. You watch a lot of Palmer when he's an FPL asset, and because he hasn't really necessarily been one for lots of parts of this season, haven't watched him quite as closely. But I did watch him quite closely today because he's in my FPL team. And he does seem to be running without pain. He's shooting without pain now. He's taking decent free kicks. He's like,
he's not carrying, but I feel like,
if you didn't go for him next week, then on wildcard, which Chelsea would you go for? No. Just João Pedro.
Yeah,
and that's just a shield pick because of his ownership.
Yeah, because actually, if I don't want him, and I said that to you during the game, I don't want João Pedro. I picked him up a couple of weeks ago for the blank because I was worried about his ownership and not having him. And ever since I've had him back, I've been like, this was a murder decision. And I really don't really see the point of him. Like, I would far rather have Dominic Calvert-Lewin or Danny Welbeck over João Pedro. But the shield pick is important. And I think having him in a week where everyone who's on a free hit is going to have him, everyone that's wildcarded is going to have him, and everybody that already had him prior to this week will just hold. So for me, he has to stay. But I was watching the game today thinking, okay, I've got the space in my team to pick up another Chelsea asset. Is there somebody that's going to really stand up and be counted? Now, my issue with the defence, so Cucurella obviously was quite good in attack today. There were moments where I thought, actually, he could pick up some attacking returns here. However, defensively, they are awful. They are awful. And I do think that the way that Brighton are playing and the fact that Brighton could go above them in the league and take that European spot from them in that game that they play each other, that's an important consideration, because Brighton's defence, as you've just mentioned, have been good. They have been
very
solid.
Good, yeah.
So I don't see loads of goals in that game. And Manchester United, I mean, we haven't seen them yet this game week, of course, but they've had a nice rest over the international break. They go into the Monday night fixture against Leeds. They'll be in good form. It's a home game. It's a home game on Monday night, and then they go away to Chelsea. But they'll go away to Chelsea again, knowing this is a massive European clash for them, right? They can secure Champions League football, or almost secure Champions League football, if they keep beating the sides in and around them in the league. So I'm looking at those two sides thinking I don't see clean sheets for Chelsea at all. So if you
So none of us are really going for Chelsea defence. I think that's a given.
No, so if you go, if you're going to go there, it has to be Cucurella for the attacking potential.
Okay,
that
so
he
who
has.
Are you going to go for then?
No,
for
I'm
Chelsea?
Not. Because just so that's what I was saying. So I look at the defence and I'm like, well, I don't really want any of you. I could get Cucurella, but I'm not that interested because I don't think that was any clean sheets across the double. And then I look at the midfielders and I'm kind of like, well, okay, well, would I go for Cole Palmer? No, I don't, the underlying data is terrible. He's not involved as much as he should be.
The underlying data is not terrible.
The fact that
he's in the top five for XGI.
But look at the numbers that he's been posting. Like, he hasn't been getting attacking returns. He's not been involved in goals because Chelsea haven't been scoring anywhere near enough of them.
Mm.
So they're not scoring enough goals. He is this week played in a more Cole Palmer position than normal. When Enzo's back, let's assume Enzo comes straight back into the starting 11 after the disciplinary that kept him out today. What does that mean for Cole Palmer's position? Do we see him further out wide? If we do, I don't like him there. We've established this in the early part of the season. He's less effective when he plays out left.
Okay.
So for me, I'm just not interested.
Okay, fine. All right, I'm happy that you're not interested because I think he's a, it'll be a nice differential for me against you next week then. I think there'll be a lot of people that go for him, if not already. I think he's starting to look a lot better. I don't think you can judge him too much on today because of the opposition, but I think you're wrong to say the underlying stats don't look good because I think the XGI stats do look actually pretty good for Palmer over the last five or six. He's in the top five for all players over the last six, so definitely the stats are trending in the right way. He's due a haul if you look at the underlying stats. Man City then, you've got your three, you're happy. You've got Gehi, you've got Semenyo, you've got Haaland. They're locked in. Any changes there, or are you just happy to roll them three out next week?
I'm happy to roll them three out. I mean, I said to you tonight at the end of the game today, I feel like I'm not convinced that I'm on the right three. Obviously, Haaland is Haaland.
What do you make of his performance, though? Not in amongst it?
Not really. Mm. No, but again, a bit like Jao Pedro.
A half chance, isn't there?
But yeah. There was a moment, wasn't there, where I think he should have done better than he did. But otherwise, no, I wasn't hugely impressed by him. I've got Semenyo, who, again, is very highly owned, and I've been really happy to own him, and he's had a phenomenal season. Wasn't as involved as I would have liked from him either today, because all of the good stuff today was Doku and Cherki. I was so impressed by both of them. And
why was he not as involved, though? What did you see tactically about that game today that meant he's not as involved?
I think it's just the way they played against Chelsea, to be honest. They were just having more joy with the Cherki and Doku positions, and the Doku side of the pitch was far more fruitful for Man City in their attack against Chelsea than it was down the other side.
I think they're trying to make the pitch bigger, like having Doku that side, and Semenyo's being asked, I think, to play quite a bit wider than before. I think back when he was smashing it in FPL every week, he was getting up and supporting Haaland. He was being the supporting player for Haaland.
Yeah.
And as we've seen over the course of the season, whoever is the designated Haaland support act tends to do very, very well in FPL. Mm. Foden was it for a while, wasn't he? And he did very, very well. And Semenyo was it for a while, and he's did very, very well. Now Semenyo is being asked to play a little bit wider. And
but do you think that was just Chelsea?
No, because we've seen that's the last two or three games we've seen him play a little bit wider.
I think it will be different against Burnley. So I think against our Arsenal game's really hard to call. It's really difficult to call what's going to happen in that game.
Do you think it is? I don't think it is.
Well, no, I think Man City win the game, but it's really hard to call how that game plays out, as in, like, who's going to be the one that is the standout player in that match. Against Burnley, Man City aren't going to be asked to play wide in the pitch and all of this stuff. They're just going to go and attack them. And Burnley, they're poor. Particularly at home.
But who's going to be the Haaland support act? Because from what we saw today, the Haaland support act is Cherki today.
Well, it was today. So if I was on a free hit next week, I don't know what I would do, because the shield pick is just to have Semenyo. It's to go Semenyo, Haaland, Gehi, done. That's the shield picks from Man City. Would you just go shields on a free hit? Probably not. You probably take some punts. Now, Gehi's going to feel safer than O'Reilly because of the injury, unless Pep comes and rules O'Reilly fit and available to play in both fixtures. And then, of course, you would go there over Gehi.
They did have a word with each other as he was coming off O'Reilly.
There
and
was
he walked
some
down
smiles,
the tunnel
wasn't
and there was a bit of like, yeah, Pep didn't look, let's just say Pep didn't look too concerned, put it that way. But listen, I don't know. We've got to wait and see, haven't we?
And I guess that, you know, he was winning the game comfortably by that point and everything seemed fine. So maybe he's not going to look concerned. Let's see what he's saying towards the back end of the week.
I think Cherki is such a good differential for next week.
If you're
chasing, like, I agree with you. The safe picks are Semenyo and Haaland. That's safe. But I honestly, how many times I've sat here all week after week this season and said how much I like this player. He is class, Cherky.
Fully class. Absolutely.
The assist for the Gehi goal is so good. I nearly like applauded it in the living room. It's so good.
Yeah, it's really
good. He picks
good.
It up on the left. What he's doing over there, I don't know. He cuts inside, beats two players, then with the outside of his foot threads a pass through to Gehi, who then finishes like a striker, by the way. It was an unbelievable assist. I think Cherky, and that's what now, like three assists in his last three, he probably does need to add a bit of goals to his game. But he has scored goals this season. I don't mind getting Cherky. If you want to go three Arsenal attack next, three City attack next week, it's totally okay.
What, instead of getting a defender, you would have Cherky, Semenyo and Haaland?
I think O'Reilly is such a standout defender that if he's out, then, okay, maybe you have a punt on Ryan Aitnori if you really want.
Would you just get Gehi, though?
Well, maybe, yeah. But listen, he's not scoring them sorts of goals every week, is he? So I'm like, even Haaland's a bit of a question mark after today's performance, but Semenyo and Cherky and Haaland are definitely up there as a three for me. Definitely up there. Cherky is without doubt. I've made my bed now. I've done my wild card. It's set. But if O'Reilly's out and I've got a City spot freed up, I mean, that's not just an O'Reilly to Gehi for me. That's probably an O'Reilly to Senesi and then go for Cherky in midfield and do a -4. I might do it. I love Cherky. I think he's such a good player. And he's so good in FPL.
Would you have him instead of Semenyo on a free hit?
That's a really hard one. I think if I was chasing in a mini league, I would, yeah.
Because
the world's going Semenyo.
I definitely would want to keep a Man City defender.
Would you? Yeah, for sure. But I just think if you're chasing and you want to do something a bit different, then you've got to go against the grain a little bit. And Cherky's against the grain.
Well, that's why I'm asking, would you do Semenyo instead? Because I think I would have Gehi and Haaland or O'Reilly and Haaland. Yeah, sure. O'Reilly's not heavily owned. Like, he's still borderline differential if he's fit. But I think the question is, does somebody like Doku or Cherky get in the team ahead of Semenyo? Now, for me, it's a non-question because my three are fit. As far as I know, my three City players are fit, so I'm not changing them. But if you're on a free hit, I think that is a really difficult conundrum.
Yeah, it's the position he likes to rotate as well. Foden's right there, isn't he? It's just like they've got players that can come in and do that job. But Pep will stick with stuff when it's working. At the minute, it's working with him.
Yeah, it will be interesting to see whether, because it's Arsenal, whether there's any difference in the tactic that he deploys in that fixture.
Maybe.
I think the answer is probably no.
I think they'll want O'Reilly fit for that Arsenal game, won't
they? 100%.
The guy's a beast, by the way.
If it was Burnley first, I'd be more worried about O'Reilly.
Yeah.
Because I think maybe you'd rest him for Burnley and then play him against Arsenal. Because it's Arsenal first, and if he's fit to play Arsenal, he's fit to play Burnley.
I like him, by the way, O'Reilly. He definitely got to be on the plane in the summer. I mean, the way that he puts himself about...
What, for England?
Yeah.
But, right. I don't think he should just be on the plane.
I think he should
be in the starting 11.
Yeah.
He should be starting for England.
He's an absolute monster. I mean, I remember a few weeks ago when they were playing Newcastle and Joe Linton, as usual, putting it about, you know, doing what Joe Linton does, just like bullying players. And bear in mind that O'Reilly's quite significantly younger than Joe Linton, but he's probably about the same sort of height, isn't he? He sort of stood up to him, I'm not going to be bullied by you, give him a little bit of verbal there to sort of come in together. And I just thought, fair dues, kid. Do you know what I mean? Against, like, Joe Linton's is an intimidating guy,
yeah,
right? He's an intimidating player. That's half of his game. So for O'Reilly to stand up and do that, and the way that he shrugged off who was a defender? Was it Gomez? I don't know. Anyway, the way that he shrugged off, Santos, wasn't it? The way that he shrugged off Santos for the goal today, like, the strength of this kid is unbelievable. He's got to start for England, I think. Yeah, absolutely right. All right. That's Chelsea 0, Manchester City 3.
Are we moving on from Chelsea?
Yeah, we've done enough of Chelsea, haven't we?
All right.
Why?
No, just... Because how many have you got?
Well, I didn't think you made it clear enough that you didn't want Chelsea defence.
Yeah, but I didn't ask you about... So you've got two.
Yeah.
Anything today make you want to do more?
No.
Right, fine, move on.
No. Some people can go Enzo Fernandez if they want. If they think he's going to come back in. Well, if you want, but, you know. didn't see much there that made me think I want to go three Chelsea. No, like we said at the beginning, right? You're going to be prioritising the Brighton and the Bournemouth over them, I think.
Should we go there then, Bournemouth?
Yeah, go on then. What happened to them? Where did they
Arsenal.
Play? Oh, yeah, go on then. Yeah, Arsenal 1, Bournemouth 2. A punch in the face. Like a punch in the face, this was for Arteta, Sam. I'm assuming you enjoyed this one.
How many times do you reckon Arteta's been punched in the face?
Well, not very often, I suspect. Not very often.
Did I enjoy it? I was flabbergasted by it, to be honest. And maybe I shouldn't have been, because Bournemouth have been very impressive this year. And what I love about Bournemouth is that they've lost their best player this season. They've sold their best player. He's gone off to Man City and is doing brilliantly. But yet you would not notice, looking at this Bournemouth team, that he has left them. And that is...
Iraola's top manager.
That is praise indeed.
Top manager.
They are a quality, quality team. And to beat Arsenal on home turf is one thing. To go away to the Emirates and beat Arsenal and go ahead twice, that is another thing entirely. And I was super, super impressed by Bournemouth. Hill and Senesi just feel like FPL gifts, right? They pick up the DEFCON every week.
Start on four, don't they? Every week.
It's just four. And then what else can you do? Honestly, watching the highlights of this game, because as I mentioned, we didn't watch the game because we were out and about. We watched the highlights yesterday, and I, yet again, was like, Senesi, I just think, is a wonderful footballer. He's so good. He's so calm. And I love owning him in FPL, because every week, like, I put him on the bench this week, and I thought, oh, you're going to have to go on the bench because you're going away to Arsenal. Mm. But I knew I was benching 4 points.
Mm.
I knew I'd be benching 4 points because that's inevitable. Maybe it was three if Arsenal scored twice, but it felt like I was going to be benching four. And I'm assuming you felt the same as a Hill.
Yeah. Did Hill get the DEFCON in the end? I don't know if he did. I think he just got two. But still, like, yeah, I think, like I said before, when I saw the team sheets, I thought this is not going to be easy for Arsenal. Not just because of the way that Bournemouth are playing, but the way that Arsenal have been playing too. Like, I like you, we were out. We didn't watch this game. I saw some highlights. But from what I've seen, like, Arsenal were pretty dreadful.
Yeah.
Like, I jotted down some of I'm on off the bench this week, so I've got loads of stats. Why is that not working? There we go. Off the bench. So the XG for this game was 2.41 for Arsenal versus 1.2 for Bournemouth.
So they were clinical.
Well, 2.4 XG for Arsenal. You'd say, well, they racked up 2.4 XG. 0.19 of that was open play.
Because of the penalty.
The penalty and set pieces. Mm. Now, we're getting to the end of a season where a team like Bournemouth, who are, I wouldn't say they're a physical team, but they've got some, you know, Senesi, Hill,
yeah,
powerful
some
team,
powerful
right?
Guys, yeah.
Evan Nilsson will come back and help out. If you can nullify the Arsenal set pieces, you can beat them.
Yeah.
You can beat them. And even the penalty, I thought, was a bit flaky, didn't you? I thought that was a bit of a harsh handball.
Yeah. And also, yeah, I don't know. It's hard with Arsenal right now because they're in a dip, right? Most managers on wildcard, if you had more than just Gabriel, have probably sold, I would have thought.
Forget it's chip season. Forget everything. Just we're in a level playing field. We're in an FPL world where we're just playing 10 games a week. Hand on heart, which Arsenal forward would you have? Which Arsenal attacker would you have right now?
No, I wouldn't have any.
No. And I've only got Gabriel because I'm shit scared he's going to score a header from a free kick.
And he got an assist this time.
Which can happen. And he got an assist, right? And that's Arsenal's biggest threat is obviously all season has been set pieces. So you can't really not have Gabriel, in my opinion. But
no.
Which Arsenal attacker are you having? You're not, are you?
Well, this is the problem, isn't it? And actually, it was funny because when the penalty was given, Max, who has notifications on all games, goes, Mum, there's a penalty in the Arsenal game. And I was like, oh, who to? Bournemouth or... Because I was thinking Tav. Or Kroupy, let's see who's taking it. Mm-hmm. And he was like, to Arsenal. And I was like, oh, sack. And he went, who takes it? And I was like,
It's clearly Jacques.
Yeah, but then we went through for a while, didn't we? Because we were like, well, and I was like, is Saka playing? No, he's not playing. And I actually forgot all about Jacques. And this was the point I was going to make, is that I forgot Jacques has even existed. Because in my head, I've not thought about owning him in FPL for such a long time. Maybe at all this season, really. So it's difficult with Arsenal. And I think going into the next couple of weeks, obviously they have just the one game next week and it's a difficult one. It's the what might end up being a title decider against Manchester City, or will probably end up being the title decider against Man City. But then they do play in the blank. So they are a team that if you are on a different strategy and you are free hitting in the double, that you might be looking at for game week 34 and beyond. But I think investing in somebody like Gyökeres or Martinelli, or Havertz, it's tough. They're not, these aren't players that have been particularly fruitful in FPL.
The fixtures are decent though. Like they've got, the way they've got to look at next week, Arsenal, the way they've got to look at it is if they can win that game, if they can go to the Etihad and win, they win the first title for 22 years.
Do you think they can?
I don't think they can, but that's the mentality they've got to take. Because if you look at the fixtures after that, Newcastle at home, Fulham at home, West Ham away, Burnley at home, and then Crystal Palace away on the final day. Goodness knows what Crystal Palace might have an eye on in terms of Europe. Mm-hmm. So the fixtures from game week 34 onwards for Arsenal are great. They've just got to get past, they've got to get something out of City, haven't they? They've got to. And one of the challenges they've got now is that City are creeping up on them in terms of goal difference as well. So if they go to the Etihad and just get a draw even, it's like, ooh, okay, well, all of a sudden the goal difference isn't quite so big because City have scored, what, City, you know, scored 2-0 against us, they scored 2-0 against Chelsea today, and then somebody else wasn't the week before. So they keep winning, keep chipping away at that goal difference, Manchester City. But from 34 onwards, the fixtures are still pretty good for Arsenal. Like, I don't see me going without Gabriel for the rest of the season. No, he's just going to be there, right?
Gabriel was different. Gabriel was entirely different. I think Gabriel was just a hold. You're absolutely holding. You have him on your bench boost, it's fine. Because he can do things like he did this week and pick up an assist here or a goal there or DEFCONs or whatever you like. So Gabriel is different. But outside of Gabriel...
Okay, well, we're not picking him. Because we're not picking him because they've not got a double.
But we haven't. But those that... But we might be looking at them for those people might be looking at them for 34 if they're playing a free hit this week. Yeah,
cool. All right, Bournemouth. Then we've spoken about Hill and Senesi. We've waxed lyrical about those guys. What do you think of the options in midfield then? So Alex Scott obviously thrown his hat in the ring now as well. I noticed that is now his 12th successive game week of 90 minutes. So he's definitely getting all the minutes. He's 1.5% owned as well, Alex Scott. Yet. We all seem to default, or certainly us that were on wildcard last, we all seem to default to Tavernier.
See, I found it really interesting that you went for him. Mm. Because, obviously, I've had him for a while now. And I thought that you might have gone somewhere else, given that we know, or we think we know, that he's not on penalties anymore, given that Kroupi took the one in game week 31's blank. So in my head, when I looked at and I didn't even realise that you brought him in until I was building your graphics for the end of this stream. And I looked at it and I thought, that's really interesting that you've gone for him. And was that just a default move on your part? Because I think if I was wildcarding this week, he would not have made.
I think he's the penalty taker and Kroupi doesn't play. And up until fairly recently, he has been recently, but he hasn't been over the course of the season. The underlying stats look pretty good for Tavernier as well. The XGI, as Aaron's saying in the chat, they look pretty good for the last few weeks. So I don't think it was I'm surprised you're surprised. I think it was a fairly obvious pick,
surprised.
I think, in the wild card. Just 0.06 XG for him today, or yesterday, I should say. Same for Rayan, but I think the opposition have got a lot to do with that. I'm pretty comfortable with having Tavernier. Or if I had Alex Scott going into next week, I think for the double, he looks great. Would you? Is Alex Scott on your radar? Is that a pick you might go for?
No, because I think having already got Tav and Senesi in my team, I'm comfortable with the two Bournemouth assets and I'm comfortable holding them practically till the end of the season, to be honest. Okay. Given that I'll be free hitting in 34, because the actual fixtures apart from a game against Manchester City, the rest of the fixtures are decent for Bournemouth between now and the end of the season. So I'm happy to hold them.
Yeah, Leeds and Newcastle in the double, of course, for Bournemouth. Then the blank. Then Crystal Palace, Fulham, Man City and Forest.
Yeah. So I'm happy to have them until the end of the season. Whereas I look across I look at where my weaknesses in my team are compared to, say, what you and the wildcarders did last week and also what other people might be looking to do between now and the end of the season. And a Brighton midfielder feels like a bigger priority than getting in an additional Bournemouth one.
Do you reckon?
For me, yes.
I think it's so hard. Well, let's do them now then. So that's Arsenal 1, Bournemouth 2. Arsenal bottling it is the headline from that. Burnley 0, Brighton 2 then. Let's do Brighton because we, of course, we're going to be focused on them as well for the double game week. I tend to disagree with you there. I think it's really hard to pick a Brighton midfielder, whereas it's I wouldn't say it's easy, but you've got Tav and Scott that are there just there. They're just right there, aren't they, from a Bournemouth perspective. But if you were to pick a Brighton midfielder, then who would you go for?
I very, very nearly went for Pascal Gross last week as my third transfer. I was very, very close to doing that. And I couldn't. The only reason I didn't is I couldn't quite bring myself to sell Morgan Rogers ahead of the game against Forest. And my God, he should have done better than he did. He got the assist, but he was one off DEFCON. He missed a sitter as well, didn't he? It flew over the bar. Like, it could have been a big haul for Rodgers.
Yeah.
And I couldn't quite bring myself to sell Dom Szoboszlai either, because I did fancy Liverpool to get something out of the game against Fulham. And he's been so impressive. And he got the DEFCON, so he got 5. So I was kind of like, oh, okay, fine. I couldn't bring myself to sell either of them. But I wanted Pascal Gross, and I thought, well, maybe I can just wait a week. I can let those two have the fixtures where they might do well, and then I can look to offload one of them, depending upon who plays well and who doesn't.
There's options there, though, isn't there, for Brighton? Gross is such a boring but kind of effective pick, Gross, because he obviously takes a lot of the set pieces.
And also, it was coming up against three teams, and part of the reason for nearly doing it last week is that Burnley, Spurs and Chelsea are all incredibly bad at set pieces. So having him in the team against those three teams made a lot of sense.
Yeah, I think if you went for Mitoma, I think you're bang unlucky, because I think the narrative was, well, he's probably, if anything, he's probably a safer. He probably looks a pretty safe pick, Mitoma, but you know, didn't get the start here. Then, of course, Gross gets the assist. I think if you picked Hinshelwood, you're bang unlucky, because, again, the underlying stats for him over the last few weeks and in this game were absolutely incredible. Like, I picked out a stat here about he's now the leading FPL midfielder for non-Pen XGI over the last 7 game weeks, Hinshelwood.
Yeah, he's been really good.
But his problem is that he can't bloody score. He's only scored, he hasn't scored with his last 24 shots.
Oh, gosh.
So he's an XG merchant. He's having shot after shot after shot, but he just can't stick it away. So if you're a Hinshelwood owner, I think you probably stick. I think it's coming. It sounds like it's coming.
You have to stick.
If you were going to buy new now, I
probably come in the FA Cup.
I probably agree with you. It probably is gross, but it feels very underwhelming, that, doesn't it? It feels very boring. It feels very boring.
It's difficult, though, because then it was Weaver this week, who none of us spoke about. So last week,
he had scored for 16 months. No, I scored, so of course no one's picking him.
But this is what I mean, isn't it? Is that over the last couple of weeks, we've looked at, like, you know, we spent a long time. As soon as we knew that Brighton were going to be the team that doubled, we were like, right, we talked about Pascal Gross, we talked about Hinshelwood, we talked about Mitoma and Minte, like all of those guys. And obviously Welbeck was in the conversation. Nobody speaks about Weaver, and then all of a sudden it's him that goes, oh, hello, is it?
We probably should have, though. Do you know what I mean? I think we didn't talk about him because he's a midfielder in FPL and he's playing at fullback, so he's kind of like reverse out of position, isn't he?
Which we don't like,
but then he's playing as an attacking fullback, which we do like. And as the chat is saying, quite rightly, he does like a DEFCON. He has been getting the DEFCONs.
Does like a DEFCON, yeah, yeah.
So maybe we've overlooked him. I don't know. Maybe it's just the fact that, you know, they keep a clean sheet. He's playing defence. He doesn't get the 4 because he's a midfielder. I don't know.
I think for me, as somebody that only owes Van Heek, I don't have Danny Welbeck. And I'm unlikely to get Danny Welbeck either, given that I've got Haaland and João Pedro. Say what you like about those two and whether they're good owns or not for the double. They've got doubles and it's Haaland at the end of the day. And then my other forward slot right now is with Thiago, who
has... So would you go Thiago to Welbeck next week?
No.
Mm.
Because Thiago's got another home fixture against a Fulham side that were pretty poor against you lot.
Mm.
And so I'm looking... And look, let's not beat around the bush here. Brentford could get European football next season.
They're pushing. Oh, absolutely.
They are
absolutely
in the conversation.
He's pushing for Golden Boot as well.
Absolutely. Mm. They're in the conversation for getting European football. And that is exactly why I don't think I can sell him next week.
Yeah, I must admit, Thiago to Welbeck looks a lot harder, doesn't it, now, after this week? It really does.
But because that is difficult, because that was on my radar of things I could do, but as you know, and I'll talk about my team later, I was very unsure about how to get Haaland back into my team. And I very nearly did something different. In the end, I stuck to what I thought was the right thing, given that Thiago had a home fixture. But I knew if he returned in this one, I'd find it very hard to sell him ahead of another home fixture in game week 33. So now I'm looking at it, and so in my head, I knew I needed two Brighton going into the double. I had Van Hek, so that was sorted. So the question was it Welbeck or was it Gross? It's going to be Gross now because I cannot sell Thiago.
Yeah, I get you. I still think Welbeck's a good pick for next week, though. He's playing two pretty crap defences. I think it's...
I don't disagree with you.
He's a good pick. But it's equally... just whether Thiago can match him, which he can, right? So let's have a quick word on Thiago then. I don't want to talk too much about him because we're rapidly running out of time, but we should give him a shout out because it's one of the performances of the week. I jokingly said to George on Slack that he got a pen and one off his backside, Thiago, so he was a bit lucky to get the points. And I stand by that statement, George, by the way. However, what I will also say is that he thoroughly deserved the FPL points because he's a menace, that guy. He's a
really
bloody
good.
Nightmare to play against. Well, good Lord.
If you think, we were quite unlucky to not see this from him last season. It was only injuries that kept him out last season.
Well, he was the Ivan Toney replacement, wasn't it?
When
you think back to it.
And then he got injured. And then, obviously, we didn't see the best of him last season. But we are really seeing the best of him now. And for me in FPL this season, he has been a little bit frustrating because I had him for a few weeks. He did nothing. I sold him for Jared Bowen. He then got those two massive double-digit hauls where Bowen didn't really do much. And then I swapped them back over again. And then Bowen's went on a run and it's been a difficult hold. And that's why I'm kind of reluctant to sell Thiago because I do feel like...
Because he's really good.
Well, yeah, but also in these last few weeks of the season, and again, it goes back to what have people got to play for. This is a player where... The team is motivated because they have European football to play for. He is personally motivated by the potential of the Golden Boot.
Absolutely.
And you've got potential seats on World Cup planes that he is also motivated for.
What's the ticker saying about Brentford then? Let's have a look at them. So Fulham at home, as you rightly say, next week. United away in the blank game week. West Ham at home. Nice looking fixture, although West Ham have their own motivations. City away in 36, and then they finish off with Crystal Palace and a very obliging Liverpool defence on the final day. He's a fine hold, isn't he? He's a fine hold.
And I think sometimes, and this is where I just would issue a little word of caution, and I issued this word of caution to you, didn't I, last week when you were talking about your wild card on Ohana. You have to be so mindful of how far do we go for the doublers and how far do we...
I went into a miles wide open.
I know, and I'm not saying you did the wrong thing because you kept... a load of single or three single game weekers on your bench that have all got good fixtures or a good run of fixtures afterwards. So you've done the right thing. I just think that there is potential here that you kind of go, like for me, as somebody that doesn't have a wild card, that doesn't have a way out of it, there are certain players from certain teams that I think remain holds. And he is a prime example of one of them. I'm just issuing a word of caution of not getting double game week fever and ditching players that could do really well in a single week.
Yeah, I agree. And none of us that took him out last week thought that anything other than...
No, you did it with your eyes open.
It was going to end badly. Liverpool 2, Fulham 0. Let's talk about our game then.
You're not going to rant today.
No rants. Although, to be honest, it could have been. I mean, first half was good. Second half was less good. And I don't know whether in the second half it was a case of, well, are we taking our foot off the gas because we're crap and it's on a slot, or are we taking our foot off the gas because it's PSG in the week? Don't know. But either way, we definitely took our foot off the gas. Fulham had chances. Iwobi could have scored. Wilson had a decent chance. I think Jimenez had a decent chance when he came on as well. So, yeah, it could have gone differently. But 2-0, fine. It's good, right? I think it's a case of the old and the new here, isn't it? Because... Salah kind of rolled back the years of that finish. That's the sort of finish we've seen from him season after season. And I really hope that we see, you know, a bit more of that over the remaining weeks of the season. He deserves to go out on a high, right? I can't have...
We all getting him on free hit in 34?
I can't have one of the greatest Liverpool players of my lifetime watching Liverpool go out with a whimper. He has to go out on a high. And I think as a community, we all just have to agree. I put this on Twitter. We all just have to agree, FPL community, all of us on this live stream and everybody else, we've all got to have him for game week 34. If you're doing your free hit in 34, you have to have
him. I like the fact that you're taking... I said this to you.
It's a mark of respect.
I went, no, right, I'm not having this. So I... Salah scores, he does his thing. I go in the kitchen to make a cup of tea. I come back and I say to Lee, who have you got in game week 34? And you went, and then you told me. And then I went, right. And you went, why? And I said, because surely we're going Salah on free hit in 34. It's a final hurrah with him. Now, what is this? You're claiming it on Twitter that it's your idea.
If you'd like to take some credit for it, then you can.
What do you mean some credit for it?
Yeah, sure. Take some credit for it if you want. But I'm just saying, as a community, we should all agree to get Mo Salah in 34. I'm definitely having him. I will have Salah on my free hit 34.
Yeah, well, so will I, because that was my idea.
Just as a mark of respect.
Unbelievable.
For the FPL GOAT. So I'll have him, no doubt about
outrageous.
It. But outside of that, why is it outrageous? Oh my God, get over it. So Salah I'll have. Ngamoa I won't, though. As much as I've been saying, like, as a Liverpool fan base, we've been saying about getting Rio in that team week after week after week. Amazing what can happen when you put a bit of pace on the wing that can beat a man. Incredible. I just honestly think that he's so much better than Gakpo. I honestly think he's so much better than Gakpo. But anyway, Slot doesn't seem to think so. I'm pretty sure. Like, there's, I was speaking to one of the dads at Max's Football today, and he's just like, that kid's amazing. Got to play him against PSG. And I'm like, yeah, but he won't. 100% won't start him against PSG. Might come on. But again, we've like 10 minutes to go and we're 4-0 down probably. Like, he's got to play. He's so, so good.
Who's he going to play? Salah? Will he play Salah?
Or against PSG? Mm. Yeah, of course he will, yeah. It's probably Salah's last Champions League game for Liverpool. So
well, you say of course he will, but he didn't play him last week. And he didn't bring him on.
Well, he'll play him at the weekend. And he should play Rio on the other side, but he won't do. Other than that, I've not got a lot to say about this game, to be honest with you. We haven't got a double game week nor a Fulham, so I don't think there's much to discuss it, so I think we'll move it on.
And Fulham have got Brentford, and they didn't play very well, so more reason to hold Thiago, I think.
Yeah, I think so. All right, then, let's go to your game. Sunderland 1, Spurs 0. Thoughts?
I don't really have a lot to say, to be honest. I played Roofs, and I played Van de Ven, because in my head, I thought this is going to probably be a really nervy, low-scoring game where nobody's going to want to make a mistake and we'll just try and nick it. And I thought we were doing an all right job of it, to be fair. It's a wicked deflection on the goal, which happens sometimes, and that's what it is, and it takes out the Van de Ven clean sheet. And I was like, well, that's annoyed me. And then obviously there's the collision with the goalkeeper and Romero. Romero goes off. But the problem is that towards the back end of the game, we so lack creativity. And I said to you on Friday, like, when the news broke that, or was it Thursday, whenever it was, when the news broke that Kudus had another setback, and now looks like he's going to have further surgery and probably miss the World Cup, I could have cried, because I was like, all we need is that. We needed him so badly for the creativity down that side, because that is what we have been massively lacking. Because up until the point, like, we sold Brennan Johnson on like the 2nd of January or something like that, and then Kudus got injured on the 4th, and since then we've had zero creativity down that side of the pitch, and it's massively problematic, because Kola Muani, for all of the good things he does, he's not creative, and he's not that player that's going to get in behind and do those things. It was really frustrating to watch that, because we needed that creativity to feed the forwards. I thought we looked slightly better when Xavi came on, but bringing Xavi on for 5 minutes at the end of the game, he must show absolutely nothing in training. He must be hopeless in training, because this is two managers now that have stopped playing him. And on paper, he is everything that De Zerbi needs in his number 10 slot, but he doesn't start him. So there must be something there. I thought it was interesting that Porro was back on set pieces, because he was on them for Frank, off of them under Tudor, and he's back on them again now. I didn't think they were great, mind you. However, the fact that he's back on them, and he was very attacking. There were a couple of moments today where Porro is the reason why we break through. And we had a couple of moments where Richarlison just, if he just does better, we score. And then maybe it's a different game. All that being said, I don't think you're investing in Spurs anyway in FPL. I mean, I sold Richarlison this week. I think if you have him, you can sell. From a Sunderland perspective, obviously I've got Roofs in goal. That is a bit of a conundrum for me between now and the end of the season, because obviously most managers will have a doubling pair of goalkeepers. I have to make a decision as to whether I'm going to stick with Roofs.
Who have they got next week then?
Villa.
Villa away.
So I've got to make a decision as to whether I want to stick with Roofs, who, I mean, actually, recently they've been better away from home than they have been at home. So do I want to stick there, or do I want to move him to somebody like Verbruggen and hold Verbruggen until the end of the season? I think there's a bit of a debate there.
Petrovic, maybe?
Maybe Petrovic. That would give me a third Bournemouth. But then I've got to think about how that looks for game week 35 till 38 because my other keeper is obviously Dubravka. So it's not like I have the luxury of having Darlow in the other slot.
Yeah, okay.
So I just need to consider Roofs. But okay. Yeah.
All right. I thought you looked a lot better for 20 minutes. I thought 20-25 minutes, I thought, actually, there's some promising signs here. There was some energy, getting into some good positions. I think you're right, Richarlison had a chance or two. But then I'm afraid you're right. It's the same old problems. It's just, you know, I think I saw in the chat, you know, Spurs, Danny's saying Spurs in the second half, 0.14 XG. It's a, just don't, you haven't got
We haven't
tools.
Got any creativity.
You haven't got the tools to create goals
injured.
For
They're
the likes
injured.
Of Solanke and Richarlison. Because...
And it won't improve because they don't have, unless they start playing Xavi, but then Xavi's got, whatever Xavi's doing in training has to, because Tell's not the answer. I think he made us worse when he came on. I don't know. I mean, maybe Spence is the answer. Spence will be more creative than you dogs. I don't know. We'll have to see. But don't invest.
No, I think you're right. I think if I can give you some positives, I thought the keeper played pretty well. And in a game where all eyes were on him, I think he pulled out a save in the first half. I thought it was very good, actually.
And he would, and if it wasn't for the deflection, he'd have saved the shot.
Yeah.
Because he's going the right way for it.
Yeah. So, I thought the keeper was good. So, I don't know. There's some signs in the game, right? There's some signs in the game that you can, you know, he can get a tune out of you. But we know it takes time for De Zerbi. We know Spurs' problem is creativity, and you can't just magic that out of nowhere, right? You need to have Maddison and Kulusevski and Xavi on form and all this, and he's just not got it at his disposal at the minute. So, yeah, it's another tough one to take. Any others that we want to discuss?
We should.
Any of us? The Hammers did well, didn't they? Friday night, 4-0.
I didn't watch any of that game.
3 assists for Bowen. Bloody hell! If you got Bowen in this week, you've done well, haven't you? Done very, very well. Mavrapanos took his goals well. But neither of them—they're not doubling, are we? So I'm not going to talk about them.
It's only Burnley. They're the only other team that double, and nobody's getting any Burnley anyway.
That's it.
Because the other one's tomorrow night in Leeds.
Don't want to talk anymore.
It's over.
Well, I think we should just give FPL favourite Jean-Philippe Mateta a bit of a shout-out, shouldn't we?
Boom, 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 boom.
2 goals for him.
Mateta's in the room.
Is he back?
Well, he might be back, but he's also going to be off playing in Europe again next week. And he came off the bench and did these two things, and one of them was a penalty. And they don't double next week. Maybe we'll talk about him when we get to game week 36.
Yeah, all right, fair enough. Let's do scores for the week then. So this was my wild card score for this week. 47, very much the O'Reilly show, very, very much. I noticed that Palmer snuck in with a couple of Defcon right at the death. That was unexpected. I just was not expecting that. When you put 4 on the slide, I almost said to you, that's wrong, he's not got 4. But no, he picked up Defcon. Incredible stuff. Well done. Well done, Palmer. So O'Reilly really... It kind of saved the game week a little bit. Like, without him, it looked pretty crap, doesn't it, to be honest with you? Verbruggen and Van Heck is nice. The double Brighton clean sheet was looking pretty good, but then nothing from Welbeck. João Pedro, nothing. So, right, let me do it from the top then for the podcaster. So, Verbruggen 9, O'Reilly 14, Gabriel 4, Van Heck 5. So, defenders, well done. Take a bow. Midfielders, Fernandez, captain in midfield to play tomorrow night. Palmer 4, Gordon 3, Semenyo 2, Haaland 2, João Pedro 2, Welbeck 2. Defenders, well played. Forwards and midfielders, utter dog shit, Sam. Rubbish. Absolute rubbish. And then my bench is Darlow, Tav, Hill and Strouk. So 47. Really not very good at all. A game week rank of 3.6. So rank change is a red arrow by 4.9%. So I've gone down a little bit. I think I was at about 135. I'm now at about 145k. As we said at the beginning of the pod, or at the beginning of the show, that is kind of how I thought this week was going to go. This week looked as if I'm wildcarding into something which is probably quote-unquote worse than what I had, but is set for next week. So the fact that I've gone down, but not by much, see what Bruno does and Cunha and Bremo do tomorrow, but I've gone down a little bit, we'll know whether the wildcard is successful this time next week or this time in 10 days or whatever, right? We can't judge it right now. But right now, it feels bad right now because Thiago had one in off his arse and Van Dijk got, a 9-pointer, didn't he, with Defcons and a bonus point.
Yeah.
Which he can do, right? So selling Van Dijk and selling Thiago doesn't feel great on the wild card. So at the moment, it doesn't feel great. But I think in the medium term, after next week, we'll feel a lot better about it. We'll feel a lot better about it. Gordon was the one disappointment, right? I was really not sure what to do with that additional midfielder slot in the middle there. And unlike you, I wasn't keen on any Brighton midfielder, so I went for Welbeck. I don't know what I'm going to do with Gordon. I mean,
well, you've got Holt now.
Well, maybe. Yeah, maybe.
What, are you going to change him?
Well, the
thing
is,
depends on what happens with O'Reilly, doesn't it?
Well, maybe. But the reason for bringing Gordon in is that actually, both Vissa and Voltimade, he's not fancied him for weeks, has he? He's not fancied either of them. And he's been putting Gordon up in the nine. And he's been doing bits. Well, what happens today? You see the team suit. Bloody Will Osula's in there. And you're like, great. That's Gordon back out left and getting no points again. And then what happens? Osula gets the goal.
So if O'Reilly is ruled out, Gordon to
Cherky, O'Reilly to Senesi.
Yeah.
For a hit. Might be. That's definitely in my thinking. Definitely in my thinking.
Interesting.
That's my 47. So when I look at my team for next week, and again, I'll read it out for the podcasters, Verbruggen. So all of my first 11 have got a double, playing two games, right? So Verbruggen, Hill, O'Reilly, hopefully, fingers crossed, Van Heck and Strauch, Semenyo, Tavernier, Palmer, Welbeck, Haaland, João Pedro. On my bench is Darlow, also on a double, and then Bruno, Gordon and Gabriel. And at the moment, I have the captaincy on Haaland, but I have to tell you, I am not 100% sure about that.
And a bench boost.
And I'll be playing the bench boost. Yes, absolutely, I'll be playing the bench boost. So yeah, it feels pretty set. It should feel pretty set because I played the wild card this week. So of course, this is what I'm planning for. We'll see how it goes. When you see it, so people in the chat going benching Bruno, I'm bench boosting next week. Absolutely bench boosting next week. Let's have a look at your score for this week then. 50 points. Oh. But goodness me, what it could have been had you played Gehi this week.
Yeah. I didn't, honestly, I thought João Pedro, I thought Chelsea would score. I didn't expect Chelsea to not score, so I benched Gehi because, as we said at the beginning, he's not exactly been filling up with the attacking return since he went to Manchester City. So I was like, well, I'll bench him this week because it's a difficult game and I'll play, as I mentioned, I played Van de Ven because I did feel like it might be a tight, cagey game anyway. It went badly. Roos in goal with 11, that was good. Van Heck with the 5 is fine, but it's frustrating because I sold Virgil, who obviously got 9, and had I just left it alone and done those two transfers next week, I'd have been better off because Richarlison and Haaland just levelled each other out. So I'd have been 4 better off if I'd have done that. Gabriel with the 4, fine. Bruno is my captain. Obviously, he'll play tomorrow. Szoboszlai and Rodgers. Rodgers with the assist. Szoboszlai with the defensive contributions and the clean sheet. As I mentioned earlier on, though, what could have been with Rodgers, because one off the DEFCON, I'm hoping they might find one overnight and that'll pick him up an extra 2 points.
He missed. And he missed a sitter. Absolute, like, on a plate goal, didn't he, from what I saw on the highlights.
Over the bar.
Yeah.
So annoying. Would have been a double-digit haul then if he picks up DEFCONs and he picks up that, and that's, and then probably gets the bonus as well.
Then the wild card really is in the bin if he scores that, because I took him out as well.
So that's frustrating. Thiago with 13 up top is nice, alongside Haaland and João Pedro with their 2s. The bench, though, Dubravka with 2, Tavernier with 2, Gehi with 15 and Senesi with 4. Let's hope my bench performs this well next week, when I've got the bench boost active.
Yeah.
It's a bit frustrating, but it's a green arrow. It was a really, really big green arrow until Gehi scored. And in the moment that Gehi scored, I was like, oh God, that's going to be painful. Thankfully, it stuck green. And I'm hoping around me, Bruno captain isn't that popular.
Okay.
So there's a lot of Haaland captainers. So I'm hoping that actually the green, as long as Bruno returns tomorrow, my green should stay green, because when I look at my threats on live FPL, most of them have already played. So we seem like we should, okay, fingers crossed, be in an okay position for a green in this week. So then heading into the next week and the double, I do not have a full team of doublers. But I do have 2 free transfers that I can make. So Dubravka will be my goalkeeper because he has the double with Roos on the bench.
Are you bench boosting next week?
Yeah.
You are going to bench boost next week? Okay, fine.
I have Van Heck, Gehi and Senesi. I don't think I'll have a better week to do it, so I'm just going to get it done.
Fair dues.
Van Heck, Gehi and Senesi, all 3 of them on doubles. Bruno doesn't have a double but has a great fixture. Semenyo and Tav both with double game weeks, and then Szoboszlai, who currently doesn't have a double and is currently there but may not be by the time the deadline comes. Pedro Haaland and Thiago. As I've mentioned already, I am going to hold Thiago. So whatever happens, Bruno and Thiago are staying. The bench then for next week would be Roofs, Rogers, Van de Ven and Gabriel. So my conversation with myself between now and then is, how do I improve? I'm quite happy with the starting 11, to be honest, most of them.
Right.
So the conversation is around, what do I then do to improve the bench? Van de Ven's an obvious sale, I think, given the lack of Spurs clean sheets and the fact he'll probably just get one again against Brighton next weekend. But I don't really know where I'll go. I mean, I could double up on the Brighton defence with another defender rather than with Verbruggen.
I think I'd be looking at that, yeah.
Which I think I'm looking at. I could just go for Hill and double up on the Bournemouth defence with Senesi and Hill.
Also fine.
Which is also fine. So I'm probably looking at Van de Ven to one of those two with one of the transfers. The other transfer will then be used to upgrade or to change either Rodgers or Szoboszlai. And I'm not quite sure which one yet. Szoboszlai feels like the better hold because he's on set pieces and because Liverpool are better than Villa.
Couldn't tell you how that game's going to go, by the way, that Merseyside derby.
No.
Normally I'd say to you, yeah, I feel really confident, or I don't. I don't know. Like, it's a hard... I find that's really hard to call that one.
Well, that one I won't...
We'll struggle, I think.
That one I'll do nothing with until after Thursday night, because obviously Liverpool play on Tuesday evening in the Champions League and Villa play on Thursday evening in the Europa League. So I want to make sure both... Because the decision might get made for me if one of them gets injured. Yeah. So one of them will become Pascal Gross. So then I will have two additional doublers, which would then give me, 10 doublers... And then a bench boost that would have Thiago probably and Bruno would probably move. Or Szoboszlai, depending upon who I keep.
But ten doublers. Very good, yeah.
I think
as long as they're the right doublers and you're covering most of the bases that us wildcarders have really wildcarded to, which it feels like you are. I mean, what have I got that you haven't got?
Leeds keep a clean sheet, basically it's Leeds. It's Darlow, Strauch, Dominic Calvert-Lewin.
I haven't got him.
No, I know you haven't, but he will be popular in the... Welbeck versus Thiago, but then I'll have Pascal Gross. So it's almost like, well, I've got a different Brighton asset.
Okay.
I don't feel like I'm massively behind the wildcarders, to be honest.
As Greg FPL says in the chat, Sam, Leeds are crap, you'll be all right.
Well, that Leeds are my concern because I'm invested in Bournemouth and I'll either have two or three. I'm invested in Brighton and I'll either have one or two. I'm invested fully in Manchester City and I don't have the worry of Nico O'Reilly. And I've still got one Chelsea and I'm not worried about Palmer because I think he's crap. That's kind of where we are.
Okay.
It feels all right. I feel like I'm in an okay position, given I haven't wildcarded and I have a chip active.
Captaincy for next week?
Difficult. Currently, it's on Haaland.
That Burnley game's got... It's got a spicy written all over it, isn't it, for Haaland? But
is it Haaland?
Semenyo's right there.
Because Semenyo's right there. And I don't know, I've gone...
Cherky will be right there for me, probably.
If Nico O'Reilly's not injured, though, you can't get Cherky.
If Nico O'Reilly's fit, Nico's right there.
I would argue that he's a better captain than Haaland at the minute.
Oh, blimey.
I think I'll be going Haaland.
Good Lord. Me too, I think.
Bit boringly.
But I'm tempted. I'm very tempted against it, I'll be honest. But this feels like it's going to be very popular, doesn't it? Very popular. All right, that's it. Well, the team's looking... you've got it covered, I think. You've got most of them covered there. There's nothing there that you should be worried about. Certainly not worried about my double Leeds defence, I don't think, flipping it.
Double Leeds defence!
Just haven't got to worry about that at all. As George is saying in the chat, got to play it safe with Erling. I think you do, mate. I think you do. But I think, again, if I was chasing...
Can we have some fun, though?
Yeah, of course you can. I mean, you had some fun with Richarlison and you took him out.
Yeah, but I did the right thing, because imagine if I'd sold Thiago.
Correct. Yeah, I'll tell you what, that was a 50-50 at the back end of last week.
Do you know
were
what?
Very 50-50
I'll let you into a little secret about that, because I was really on the fence and I couldn't decide what to do, and I was like, but I do what I do.
Your heart wanted to keep Richarlison, I could tell. And your head was just like,
be sensible, Samantha. And I was, and it was really funny because we took the kids. So we was going to a gym class on a Friday night, and we decided, because it's been the school holidays, that we take them to the gym early and go for a swim first. So we were in the pool, and Lee said, "What time are we getting out?" And I said, "Well, you can get out whenever you like, but I've got to get out at 6:15. And he was like, "Why?" And I was like, "Because I haven't made my transfers and I don't know what I'm doing." And I need
What has happened to you? Like, I remember last season, one of your things was, right, I don't ever do anything on the day of the deadline.
Yeah, but I can't.
I'm always really well organised. This season, the amount of deadline day crap you've been doing is unbelievable.
This year, maybe recently, but that's because recently, since my wildcard, I've been trying to make headway. And so this week I was really, and so I'd done Virgil to Van Heck, done that the day before, but I could not decide on how Haaland was coming back in. And in the end, I got out the pool, I sold Richarlison and got Thiago. Then I lost, I didn't tell you this story, then I lose signal because the change room is where we are. The signal's crap. Right. So I've made the transfer, Haaland's in my team, but I've still got Dubravka in goal. So I'm like, right, Roofs is fit, I'm going to play Roofs. It would not do it. So I'm like, in my swimming costume and a towel, thinking,
why are you leaving it to the last minute?
What
like
do
this?
I do here? It won't connect to the Wi-Fi. And I'm like, Evie, I'm going to have to go out of the changing rooms. God. And she's like, you're in a towel, Mum. And I was like, I know. So I've like got as close to the entrance to the change rooms as I can. And then eventually the signal came back and I made the transfer. But it was
are people coming into the change rooms thinking, what is this weird ass woman doing with a FPL
Thankfully, nobody came in. But I managed to get it. And I wasn't absolutely convinced it had gone through until. So I get later on when the game reloads, I was like, please let me see Roofs in goal.
Imagine you'd benched an 11-pointer for Roofs as well. Jesus Christ.
I was having a nightmare. All because I decided I wanted to swim and think about what I was going to do beforehand. I won't do that again.
Don't do that
again. It was rather stressful, guys. I don't recommend it.
I could tell you, when we got in the car after being at the gym, you were like, you said exactly that. You went, I've sold Richarlison. You were like, I could tell you were upset. You were saddened having to sell not just a Spurs player, but a potential, like, differential Spurs player.
I don't like saying,
but
my
you've made the right choice. You've played FPL there with your head and not your heart, which is absolutely how you've got.
I wanted to take a couple of differentials into this week, and so selling Richarlison felt horrible, but I did the right thing and I played Roofs as well. So the right thing happened in the end, even if it did happen at 6:29 in a towel with my phone hanging out of the change room,
out the window. Well, listen, guys, thanks for joining us tonight. Good luck to anybody that's got Bruno Cap tomorrow night. If you've got Cunha, you've got Mbeumo.
No, I don't want any of them doing anything. Just Bruno.
Not good luck to those guys. Bruno Cap is fine. He can do something. Outside of that, like, subscribe, all that good stuff. Good luck if you're playing a chip going into game week 33. Get onto the Ohana podcast, patreon.com/FPL family. If you want the free Ohana podcast every Thursday, where we preview the upcoming game week, what's about to happen, then Thursday nights is where you can get that. patreon.com/FPL family. Links are in the description below. Don't need to support us. Don't need to give us any money. It's not behind any paywalls. You just sign up for a free Patreon account. You can get access to that podcast. So yeah, give that a listen, like, subscribe, all that good stuff. And we'll see you this time. Oh, you've done it again. What?
Well, there's two things we still need to do.
What haven't we done?
One, you haven't asked us about what we're doing this week.
What are we doing this week?
And two, we've got to talk about Footium.
Go on then. Why didn't you? So in the middle
because
of
I
that,
wasn't expecting you
why
to
why are you
it?
Telling a story about you being in the towel at the gym and not actually doing a Footium ad?
Because you...
I'm finishing the pod.
You, why are you finishing the pod?
Do what you got to do. Come on. Do what
right,
you got to do.
There's things we're doing this week as well, Lee.
George, help me, mate. This is what I have to put up with. Like,
this is you. Why are you finishing? You know I've put the slides in there for a reason. You've just skipped over them.
Right. What are we doing this week, Sam?
We even had a discussion about this earlier, guys, that we needed to do this. So this week, we're doing a couple of things. First of all, Lee and Az will be on off the bench this week. Both of them should be happy. Lee's made some notes. So that'll be out on Tuesday. Main pod will be out on Thursday this week. Kelly hit a wild card unexpectedly, so we'll be hearing all about that and see what she's set up for the double game week. I think George is free hitting in the double, so we'll have to see how that's going.
Lovely. Come on, Masters is on. Let's go.
And then...
keep going.
Oh, you're going to be in such trouble in a minute. And then I'll be on Sky. Just because you can't be bothered to come on Sky on Saturday morning doesn't mean that some of us aren't working on Saturday morning. So if you want to catch me and not him... waffling on. I'll be on Sky Sports News on Saturday morning talking about the double
waffling
game.
Waffling on?
Yeah, that's what you do.
You are literally waffling on right now.
In addition, It's the new season of Footium this week. And if you haven't already played it, I know most of you that have been in the Patreon community over the last few weeks have been playing this with me over the international / FA Cup break. It has been a really fun game to play over the break. It's a bit Think Champ Man, that sort of style of game. You own your own team, you pick them, you train them. Although I still haven't quite worked out how to get the training to work properly, and all my players now seem to be injured.
Do I need to go to these Footium slides?
It would be nice if you would put one of them
up. Why don't
up,
you tell me to then? Which one?
Any of them, darling. Just okay. Pick one.
There you go, there's one.
That's what it looks like when you log in. Click on the second one. And then this is how your team will look as you log in. You can move them in and out. They have different rankings depending upon how good or bad they are, depending upon what position you want to play them in. You can change the formation. And you earn... basically you can get promoted with them or relegated in the case of not having a particularly good season. It roughly lasts about 3 weeks per season, which has been perfect over this international break period. And the new season will start, I think it's the middle of this week that we start building up to season 18 of Footium. So if you are interested, links are in the description below. You can go and sign up. It's completely free to play. You can sign up, get yourself a team. Join the FPL Family League, which again, you'll find the link in the description below. And we'll be playing throughout season 18 as well.
Nice. Yeah, thanks to everyone that's got behind us on that. Because it's, and I know the Slackers in particular, we really enjoy the Footium stuff. So yeah, if you enjoy playing Footium with us over the international break and while the FA Cup was on, yeah, crack on, keep going. Yeah, keep going. It's a continuous thing, goes throughout the season, right? Even in the off season?
Yeah, it's like a 3 week season. When one ends, you get like a week, I think it's like week to 5 days off, and then the next season rolls in and you can play.
Sweet.
Again and again.
All right. Very, very good. Okay, guys. That is it okay if I now finish up the, can I finish up the show? Is that right? Is there anything else that you'd like to discuss?
You are going to be in so much trouble when we very get off this
good.
Stream.
Like and subscribe, and we will see you this time next week. Cheers,
well,
guys.
Well, I will. He might be dead. Bye, guys.